Good morning. It is Easter Sunday, a unique Easter Sunday, as we are recording this service and still under stay-at-home protocols and social distancing. But one truth rings clear, even in this time, and that is, He is risen!
He is risen indeed!
Amen. It's good to be together here at Trinity Evangelical Free Church. If you are listening to this, I hope and pray that things are well with you, that you are safe, that you are healthy, as we come together worldwide to celebrate the raising from the dead of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a fun service today with some songs and scriptures as we come together to remember and celebrate what happened so long ago. Let's pray. Oh God and Father, we thank you for this day. We are so grateful as we remember throughout this weekend of your death and the suffering you did and the glorious day today. We rose again in power for us, that death was conquered and that death is available to us today. The hope of the resurrection rings loud and clear, and we praise you and thank you for that. Oh God, as we celebrate in these unique circumstances with a pandemic racing around the world, with our economies being challenged, with businesses being challenged, our social life being challenged, we know, God, that you are in control, that none of this has surprised you. Lord God, we lift up those who are most vulnerable during this time. We pray that you would protect and keep them healthy. I pray, God, you would help us as your church to hear what you are saying and to see the unique opportunity of being the church in these times. Again, we are thankful, Lord. You are good, and we praise you today. And we lift you up in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have a hymnal, you can turn to number 216, and we'll sing the first two verses of Christ Arose.
Jeremiah 31:1-6. At the time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness when Israel sought for rest. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued with my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall adorn yourself with tambourness, and shall go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards in the mountains of Samaria, and planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when all the watchmen will call in the hill country of Ephraim, and arise us and arise and let us go up to Zion and the Lord our God.
Next we'll sing number 217, verse 1 of Christ the Lord is risen today.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of righteousness. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me, and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Acts 10, 34 through 43. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witnesses of all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him appear, not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one anointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
First day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, became and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." See, so that they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
One more time. He is risen. Ah, yes. I love this day. You know, Christmas gets a lot of hype. Yes, you get presents and all that. But Easter is the heart, the core of what we believe. And the reason that we have hope. We have hope because Jesus conquered death. We are in a challenging, interesting time of our history. I spoke with some people this week who are frustrated. I spoke with people who are afraid. I talked with some folks who are having doubts and wondering about this pandemic, this virus that's sweeping around, and the politicians are debating back and forth, and people are criticizing this reaction, and people on the opposite side are criticizing other reactions. Things are different. This fact that we are here now doing a service like this, I'm basically preaching to my family and a couple of others that it's different. It is different. And yet, we have a great hope. The resurrection is key to all that we do. We had four readings today. One from the Old Testament in Jeremiah. We had a section of Psalm 118. We had a couple of passages from the New Testament out of Colossians and Acts. And then the resurrection story, as told in Matthew 28. In our little bit of time today, I want us to ponder and meditate, to think about what the resurrection is and what it means. What does it mean for us now, today? What does it offer to us as we live our lives in a different way right now? The resurrection is everything. The first thing I want us to step back and look at, I find in our Old Testament reading out of Jeremiah, and that's this. The resurrection recognizes and acknowledges God's love for us and our hopeful longing for a secure future. Jeremiah, in speaking, references people who survived the sword and found grace in the wilderness. Throughout Israel's history, in the Old Testament, before Christ, everything that God was doing and communicating was pointing to this Savior Jesus and what he would ultimately do for his people. We see this idea of hope, this idea of longing for something better. It's interesting that in the wilderness, as we think about the wilderness, we think of that as the wanderings, that time of struggle for Israel. They wandered 40 years before they could enter the promised land. 40 years of struggling, of just fighting, trying to make sure they had food, make sure they had water. And God showed himself faithful over and over again. And I love how it says in verse 2, they found grace, even in the wilderness. And that grace, as they sought for rest, as they desired peace and rest, verse 3 tells us, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you. God shows himself over and over again that he does love us, that he is faithful, he is true. And at love, how the promise, the hope that comes out of that love and faithfulness is one of renewal. And he says, again, I will build you, and you shall be built. Again, you shall adorn yourself. You shall go forth. Again, you shall plant vineyards, and you shall plant. You shall enjoy the fruit, and there shall be a day when watchmen will call in the hill country. There's a promise, and I think it shines a light on the human condition that somehow, deep inside all of us, we have this longing, this desire for peace, this desire for a future. Romans 8 describes this longing as a groaning, a feeling of things that aren't quite right, that there should be something that's better. Surely there's something better. And what do we do with that? People try to fill that space in with so many things. They fill it with busyness. They fill it with entertainment. They fill it with money. They fill it with stuff. They fill it with relationships. They fill it with sex. A desire for something better. We know it's there. We think it has to be better. There is this resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus gives us peace today, right now. God loves you. He is faithful to you right now. He has a future for you that is coming. And so all our fears, our anxieties, our doubts, we can experience grace even in the wilderness that comes upon our lives sometimes. The resurrection recognizes it and acknowledges and understands this deep longing we have. So what do we do with this then? Where do we go from this event of the resurrection of Jesus raising from the dead? Well, secondly, I think we see that the resurrection calls us to believe. In Acts 10, the Apostle Peter gave a sermon, basically laid out the gospel, the good news. Jesus came and demonstrated who he was. He lived his life perfectly, healed the sick, showed power and authority, and he was put to death in the worst possible way. We remembered that this last Friday. Sacrificed for us. That is what the Old Testament was pointing to all along. All the things, the suffering, the wanderings in the wilderness, the going to the promised land, the temple, the kings, all of it, the prophets, was pointed to Jesus raising from the dead. And God raised him and conquered death. Why is this important? Because we have a problem. Humanity has a problem. You, right now, have a problem. And we saw that in what Peter told us, that the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. We are going to be judged. You are going to be judged. For what? Our sin. Our falling short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. For all have fallen short of the glory of God, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what the message is. That's what the resurrection is for. Because we have this problem that we cannot take care of. We can never be good enough. The good news is we don't have to be, because Jesus was. And by rising from the dead, he has shown that he has conquered death that we would face. And he took it upon himself. We need to receive this forgiveness. And it says, if we believe, then we will receive the forgiveness of sins. That's what the resurrection gives us. The opportunity to see ourselves for who we are before God. To see what Jesus did for us in dying and then raising from the dead. And then accepting what he did for us. That is the good news. Do you understand your need? Our culture, our world would want us to believe and see and say that we're not so bad. That we're okay. And it's not to say that human beings don't do great, good things. They do. But in light of a holy God, it falls short. And so we have this opportunity by the resurrection to believe and receive forgiveness. Do you believe? You can today. You can right now. The good news is good news for us every day. No matter how young you are, how old you are, author Jerry Bridges says that we need the gospel every day. The gospel is not just baby food that we move on from. The gospel, this good news, this message of the resurrection is ours today and every day. And we need to apply it and remember it and celebrate it every single day. And you can do that today, even right now. Do not take for granted this message of the resurrection. Don't think that because you grew up in a Christian family, because you may have prayed a prayer when you were young or said something when you were little. This is for us every single day. And it's available for us, even right now. The resurrection also then reminds us and encourages us to reorient our thinking, really to change our very lives. That was the message of Colossians 3. It says, if you have been raised with Christ, that's a beautiful thing to think that in a very real way, because of Jesus' resurrection, we are raised with him, even right now, and will be raised again when he comes again for us. But in that time between, the resurrection encourages us and wants us to set our minds on his things, to orient our lives around what he did. If he did this for us, our lives will reflect that. If we believe this, we truly understand who Jesus was and what he did and this resurrection power, then we set our minds on things above. Think about the things you think about every day. It's a challenge, I know. You get through the day and you think about everything else, maybe except for what Christ has done. And yet, we are to more and more and more seek those things where Christ is. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is our resurrection hope. Now, we've been raised, and later. It is a complete and total reorganization of life's priorities. When the world would tell you, set your mind on good grades, on colleges, on careers, on houses, on cars, even set your mind on helping others, on making society better, on making the world better, the resurrection challenges us to funnel all those things into the orientation of thinking about him, because we will appear with him in glory. And by this belief, our lives are changed. The resurrection we can experience now affects everything that we do here today. And lastly, the resurrection calls us to a life of praise and thanksgiving to God. I love this Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The resurrection, Christ rising from the dead, should overflow in our hearts a life of praise and thanks to him for what he's done. It's part of this reorienting of our minds and thinking of him rather than other things. We are thankful for his love, as we saw in verses 1 and 2 of 118. His steadfast love endures forever. We see it in our salvation. In verse 14 of Psalm 118, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The Lord is the one who saves, and we thank him. The psalm acknowledges that our lives can be a struggle. Verse 18 said, the Lord has disciplined me. Part of what we go through is discipline, is struggles, it's hard. But he has not given us over to death. That idea is resurrection. That no matter what we experience here in this life, whatever struggles may be, sicknesses, pandemics, brokenness, broken relationships, whatever it may be, he has not given us over to death because he conquered death. And the resurrection tells us that. And so we praise him. The writer of this psalm, in the power of God's Spirit, spoke of this stone the builders rejected that has become our cornerstone. That's Jesus. Ephesians 2:20 tells us that he is our cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone. And that is what we build our life upon. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day you can say that. Every single day you can say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Not because of my circumstances, not because of social distancing, not because of the struggles or the pain or the joys, but because the Lord made it and he is alive. He's not. We don't say Jesus was Lord. Jesus is Lord because he is risen from the dead. He's at God's right hand right now, praying for us, praying for you right now. It is a great hope we have in him. What does the resurrection mean for you today? Has it meant something to you before? Maybe has it grown cold? Have you ever thought deeply about what this means and that it changes everything? Have you thought of the power of God raising from the dead is the power that you can experience today and later? We live in a time of many fears. We live in a time when people make careers out of stoking people's fears. But the resurrection tells us that those are false fears if we are in him. Young, old, believer for years, believer just yesterday, this power of the resurrection is yours even today. Always new, always needed, always available for us. And I would pray, if you're listening to this on recording or you're here even right now, commit your life to Christ. Set your mind on him. If it's the first time, then praise God and embrace it. If it's a renewal, if it's just something new in your heart, embrace it and live for him today. And we can thank and live in the power of this resurrection. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for raising Jesus from the dead. I thank you, Lord, that Christ sacrificed his life, but it didn't stop there. That death has no hold on Jesus, and death through Jesus has no hold on us if we will believe. Oh God, I pray, if there's anybody hearing my voice right now and they have not believed, and they were touched in their heart, they would right now commit and believe in you and begin to set their minds on the things above and live in the power of a raised Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful. We praise you and lift you up for your glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We pray. Amen.